Hi, this is Dean Hake. Welcome to another edition of the Skull Sessions. And today my guest is Alethea. How do you say your last name?
Lions,
Okay.
like the animal.
I like the animal. So, all right, so let's talk about what you have going on.
So I have a book coming out soon, which is going to be my debut. It's a dark fantasy, kind of creepy, set in York, murder mystery adventure kind of story.
Okay, does it have any supernatural elements?
Definitely, there's a lot of folklore and supernatural elements in it. My main character is a witch who has visions, and she starts seeing these murders happening, but she can't see in her visions who's doing it. And I won't say why, because that's kind of a spoiler.
Right.
But although magic is illegal in her world, the only way for her to stop more people being murdered is for her to use magic herself and try and hunt down this person who's doing it.
Is it kind of an alternative world, like the, I don't know if you read the book Metropolitan, but it's like basically it's a world where it's like kind of like ours, but magic is a thing. Like you can collect energy and have magic. Is it kind of like that?
Definitely. I even did a bit that's on my website that's basically, it's called A World Not Quite Like Ours, and it is very similar to ours. Like it's based in York, and you can literally walk around pretty much everywhere that's in the book in actual York, but on the premise that magic is real. There's a couple of key points in history that have been changed, but for the most part it's a pretty close parallel.
So it's like a slightly alternate reality, but that's the structure of that world.
Yes.
And this girl, she's just like, is she a normal person? Does she have a job predicting the future? It's like, what does she do for a living, and how does she get involved with this murder?
So Harper is an arcing archivist at York Minster at the cathedral. And because magic's illegal, it's something you have to have special permits to study. So the family that she's come from are a family of demon hunters. They don't know she's a witch other than her sister. And so she works there at the cathedral looking for and studying illegal texts that are about magic. And because she comes from this demon hunting background and because of her area of study, when
Wait,
these
why are
people
they,
start showing up dead,
sorry, what are they illegal?
because humans basically see magic as bad, there's been wars in the past. There's, as you see in a lot of folklore, creatures that have magic aren't necessarily benevolent toward humans, so humans banned it. And anyone who is a witch, anyone who is fae, or any kind of supernatural creature was either banished or killed.
Okay. So it's like not everyone can practice magic. Only certain people can practice magic, and the ones that can, they have to get a permit or they have to get licensed by the government to do so.
Well, she just studies it as far as the government know. They don't know that she's a witch because if they knew that she actually used magic, then they would execute her.
Oh wow! So is that severe? Like so it's not just a matter of breaking the law. It's a matter of like it's outlawed entirely.
Yep, completely outlawed. And it's in some ways kind of an extreme political parallel in the very isolationist way that their country has gone in this alternate universe, in saying that they don't want anyone with this difference to be in their country, and they patrol the borders and they will exclude anyone who tries to come in who might have magic.
So magic is a thing, but it's considered like an evil thing. It's considered a thing that's like provoked wars and so and like misery for humanity. So like they're trying to, I guess they're trying to like prevent it from occurring or trying to prevent people from using it. Is that it?
Yep, certainly in England, that is the view from the people in powers, that it is this evil thing. It's the propaganda is that it's this evil thing. But if you're elsewhere in the world, then many other places actually view it as something that's God-given and is like any other ability. It depends how you use it.
Oh, so it's only England where it's like banished?
Yeah, there's different countries have different political views on it throughout the world, but for the focus of book one, we're just sticking within England. And then as we go through into books two and three, that starts to widen.
Okay, so like, is there a United States? Is there a France? Is there like, How much does it like resonate with our world?
So it's a pretty close similar, if you're thinking kind of the scientific theories of alternate dimensions. There's been a few things that have been big choices that were different. But for the most part, history is run on a very close parallel to ours. So most of the geographical landscape is pretty familiar to what we would see now, just looking at a map and looking at that kind of political landscape here.
What I see a lot with like when people do alternate reality, it's almost like I would say it's almost like a trope. I don't want to call it a trope because I don't think it's like overused, but it's like they'll be somewhere and they'll be kind of the same, but then all of a sudden there's a different guy as the president, or there are statues for different heroes or something. So it's like that's how you see that it's not quite our reality.
Yeah, so
Is
one of
that
the things that's different is at the time of kind of the Reformation time, Renaissance time, when we're going through the Tudors in British history, instead of Queen Mary dying without any heirs and it going to her sister Elizabeth, Queen Mary had an heir and it's become a matriarchy from there, and it's gone down through her descendants rather than through the actual timeline of kings and queens.
right. Okay. All right. So, like, have you seen anything like Carnival Row, like the show Carnival Row, like the Netflix series?
I haven't seen it, but I know it.
Well, the first season is amazing. The second season, I know they cut it early because of budget constraints and COVID and all that sort of stuff. And it feels like it kind of rushed that last season. But the first season is amazing. It's basically an alternate reality that has Britain and France, but they're like, and they're kind of competing empires, and they call it something different, but it's basically Britain and France. And they have like this world that's supposed to be, I guess, like the Americas, but it has like fairies, it has like werewolves and stuff like that. So, and they call them the Fae, actually. That's what it reminded me of, and like, a lot of them. Because their lands become so war torn because these two superpowers are fighting over it, a lot of them immigrate, back to like their version of England, and so there, which is called the Burg, and they're at the Burg, and there's lots of racism and there's lots of discrimination, and people don't really deal with them like they don't consider them human. Do you have something kind of like that going on with yours?
Yeah, quite similar in that regard. As you're saying, with those fae and other supernatural creatures, they're not considered human, but they're not considered equal to humans either, even though they're sentient. So they're
Right.
definitely
That's
hunted
kind of like
down and
Carnival
elsewhere in the
Row.
world even as well. Some places welcome them, and other places they're definitely not welcome at all, or are second-class citizens there.
Okay.
And it's definitely more of a split on that way, because one of the things that I wanted to do in the series as well was sort of a little bit of anti-racism, because what I wanted to show was on the human side, on the side of the good guys, the actual main character and her group of people, that they're quite accepting of people who have magic, of people who are different religions, different cultural backgrounds, and that actually
But
that
you're
all
saying
works together.
other kingdoms or empires are as well. It's mainly England is so like they're so strict and like racist and I guess like antagonistic towards like anyone that's different.
Yeah, and it's a bit dystopic in that, where that you've taken that extreme example of some of the things that we're heading towards now and gone, well, if you have this in a slightly different setting, this is the kind of thing it leads to.
Oh, do you have like one thing they did that I liked in Carnival Row is like they have like their version of like religions. Like they're not Christianity, they're not Islam, they're like but they're their version of religions. And like one of the main ones they all believe in is the I guess their version of God they call the martyr, and they're like, oh yeah, well it's a sin against a martyr. So do you have something like that going on, like with various competing religions and if so, what is it?
So religion is definitely a feature in The Hiding, but less from a competing sense and more to show that actually people of different religions don't have a problem working together. we have far more things that align in what we believe than are differences. So my main character is actually agnostic. She works for the cathedral, but because of her history and because she doesn't remember before a certain age, she's kind of reluctant to commit to anything. But she works for the cathedral. Her sister is Christian. And I've kind of just done, rather than different denominations, I've just kind of done one amalgamated version for simplicity. But one of their close friends who's part of the team they work with is Muslim. Another one of them is completely atheist. And there are other things that kind of come into the books where we see other faiths, Judaism, Sikhism, that we see them working together on problems rather than having a division between them.
Are they actually called Judaism or Islam or like Christianity, or do you have different names for them?
No, in this book, I've stuck to actual real world religions because I wanted to have that parallel very specifically.
Okay.
In other books, I've made stuff up, but for this one, I kept it real.
Okay, well, you said in other books you made stuff up, so this isn't your first book?
It's my first published book. I've written other books. So okay. I've got another novel that I'm querying at the moment that I'm sending to presses and to agents that is, I'm calling it Cyberfae. So it's like sci-fi and fantasy blended together in kind of a cyberpunk.
That sounds kind of like William Gibson or like...
Yeah.
Like, okay, all right.
Yeah, lots of neuromancer type vibes.
Okay. And, or like, actually my favorite and all that is Neil Stevenson. Have you read Snow Crash?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's kind of like along that line of like neuromancer, Snow Crash, whatever.
Yeah, that kind of near-ish future world building with the extrapolation of technology, but then adding in magic, and it's largely based on British folk music.
Okay.
So there's a lot of that kind of fairy lore and the magic of the folk music that comes into it.
Okay. And you're saying this is the first published work, but you have like more that come after it, like succeeded. What do you have planned? How long is this? How many books are gonna be in the series? And is everything you write kind of connected, or are they all different stories?
So for The Hiding Universe, for The Seer of York, that's the series name. So far, I've written 2.5 books. So book one's coming out in March. In September, there's a collection of short stories coming out relating to it. And then March 2025 is when book two is coming out. It's planned as 7 books, so hopefully my publisher's quite happy for me to keep going. But they are all a self-contained story. So you can read The Hiding, and it's not got like a big cliffhanger ending or anything. It does end properly.
Because
okay. I hate cliffhanger endings.
So, but like, is it all kind of like a, I guess since you have more than one book, because the first one you have published, mm-hmm. is it all part of that same series, or some like a totally, like you said, some are like more like cyberpunk. Is that like mm-hmm. related to it? Is it not related? It's a whole different story.
Yep.
What's going on with that?
Whole different story. So I've got another series that I'm in the middle of writing, that's the Cyberfae one, and that is in a completely made up world. So made up politics, made up religion, made up folklore, but very much based on things in our world, but set about 300 years in the future of where we are politically and technologically. And aside from a couple of little character cameos, they're two completely separate universes.
Okay. Yeah, I always wonder, it's kind of funny because when you see like old sci-fi from like the 70s, they're like, you know, and they predict what will happen in the future, and they always get it wrong. You know, it's always like, you know, some stuff is way more advanced than they predicted, and some stuff is not there. Like, we don't have like flying cars, you know, but we have cell phones, you know, and like mm-hmm. you look at Star Trek and they wouldn't know what cell phones are, you know.
I know, the data, like a tablet or a cell phone, is so much more advanced than the data pads that they had in Star Trek.
Yeah. I think it was Elon Musk was talking about, like, you basically have a computer with you at all times. Mm-hmm. So they're talking about having, like, a computer implanted in your brain. And he was like, well, you basically have one. It's called a cell phone.
Yeah, very few people go anywhere without it. I mean, people have some really cool implants, though. We went to a cybernetics evening at the museum, and people have things implanted to unlock doors, to tell what weather is happening, like an almost telekinesis kind of thing about magnets. There's all sorts of weird stuff and cool stuff that people do have.
That's cool. Where do people have access to that? Like, who does that for you? Is there like a company or a couple companies that do that?
I don't know where they got it done. It was a night that was being run through the local science museum.
Okay.
And the people who were there guest talking about their implants were from various places in Europe. I think there was one person was from Spain. There was another person, I think, from France. So there's obviously this big community kind of happening, probably globally, of people having extra things done.
Well, stuff like that, I always worry about, like Skynet, like, you know, people, like, hacking into it. It's like, Manchurian Candidate, like, I know Elon Musk is talking about, like, imprinting, like, a little chip inside your brain. He's like, well, it'd be great because, like, if there's anything you want knowledge about, it would have, like, basically a dictionary embedded in your head. So you're like, oh, I know what that building is. But at the same time, like, what if somebody hacks it?
Exactly. And I've watched way too much Doctor Who and too much sci-fi to be comfortable with anyone sticking a chip underneath my skin.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
My husband, when they asked at the cybernetics night, they said, does anyone want to have something done? And my husband's like, yep. No, you do not.
Is your husband a writer as well?
No, but he has to end up with a lot of conversations about it.
Is he one of your best beta readers?
Yep, he reads everything for me to check it makes sense. And because he knows all of the background stuff that isn't on the page as well. Because we'll be out walking and I'll see something. I'm like, oh, this reminds me of this. Or I could make a story out of that. And he gets to listen to all of that craziness.
Yeah, I try and pass all my stuff by my girlfriend. And I find that I'll just go with beta readers because I feel like I'm harassing her. I'm like, hey, did you read it? Did you read it yet? She's like, oh, well, I take the dog out. I was like, never mind. Like, I don't want to be that guy. But all right, so let's come back to you for a minute. So, how do you approach it? Like, some people, they love to build up, like, a little bit of background. Like, for instance, if it's, like, a fantastic world like yours, they build up that world, and then weird stuff happens in that world. And some people like to, they just dive right in. You have to like kind of catch like the, what's going on along the way.
I definitely start more with characters. So I tend to come up with a person and a bit of background for them and then kind of throw them into the world building and see what happens to a certain extent. So I usually have a rough idea of what kind of the beginning, the middle, and the end of the plot will be. But I have very opinionated, sassy characters. And if they don't want to do that, then they're not doing it. Well, so one of the things, like I said, there's the short stories coming out for The Hiding. They were originally, some of them, ones I was writing just to kind of get to know the characters in the world.
Okay. Yeah, when I do a short story, I do way less background because it's more like I feel like a quick punch.
Mm-hmm.
But when I do, like, I have three novels out, and I figure with each novel you need, I love the old stories where they, like, build up stuff. So, like, mm-hmm. when impactful stuff happens, you really feel it because it's like you're familiar with that world.
Yeah.
You're saying that it's kind of like you kind of lay it out a little bit so people kind of understand the dynamics and more or less what's going on. And then when stuff happens, you go, oh, well, I know where that's headed, or at least I understand what's going on.
Mm-hmm. I definitely try and get that world building in, not as like a big data dump to start with, but to show things that people need to know going in. Because as you say, it helps build it up. And if you don't understand what's happening, then you're not going to get the full impact of the story. But also then you can weave in bits. So there are definitely bits in The Hiding that, if you're reading it as a first-time reader, you'd probably just not even notice that sentence particularly. It would just be a little bit of world building or something. And then later, if you come back to it after you've read book two, book three, they'll be like, oh, okay, that's actually quite important.
Right. Well, that's kind of like the Mark Twain writer, where like even when you do the world building, you make it interesting. And like one of my favorite current writers is like Neil Gaiman. I think he's
I love him.
amazing. And he'll tell you about like a world or a farmhouse or whatever, but it's like just the way he tells you makes it interesting. So it doesn't have to be like a punch in the face. And that's kind of like a gotcha, like a jump scare, I feel like. So he'll tell you stuff, and then when more dramatic stuff happens, you feel invested.
I think you need that for your character building as well as your world building. You need to have those little bits about them so they feel like a well-rounded person that you are actually invested in.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, definitely. All right, so you have one book out, or you have one book out and they have some more in the chamber. They're also, because you I think you mentioned you have one book out and then one book coming up.
The first one comes out in March, so 5th of March is the release date for The Hiding.
Okay.
And then 3rd of September is going to be the short story collection that kind of comes in the direct aftermath of it. So
Okay.
it's stuff that happens between book one and book two.
That's
And
kind
then
of based
March
in the
next
same
year.
world as book one.
Yep, so it's all in the same world, same group of characters as the core characters. And that will be consistent through the series.
Okay. And then the Cyberpunk series, that's a totally separate series. Are you gonna have like a different publisher and a different release date? Do you have like books already completed for that? What's going on with that?
So I have two books completed for that, a standalone with one set of characters, and then the first book of a trilogy with a different set of characters that's also got a very large romance plot in it. Those ones are looking for a home at the moment, so I'm sending them to publishers, to agents, see if someone's interested in picking them up.
Right. Well, hopefully your first series will make a lot of money and sell a lot of copies, and people are like, "Hey, we should check out what else she has." And then you'll be like George R. Martin or something, and sell everything, But
Yeah, but I'll finish the series, so.
all right, so a couple more questions. I don't want to spend forever doing this. So when you put it out, like, do you do book trailers? Do you do illustrations? What do you do to help people visualize your world?
I do aesthetic, so this behind me that you can see is. It's kind of an amalgamation of different books, but this side is some of the York stuff and kind of some of that misty vibe, some of the technology and magic and stuff coming together. So I do a lot of those kind of things on my social media. I do some book trailers through things like Twitter and TikTok, and the book
What
itself
should
is
people
going to
look
have some
at if they
illustration.
real if people sorry to interrupt, but no, if people want to see your social media, what's the best thing for them to go to?
So I'm most active on Twitter,
Okay.
but as I say, things like the videos go up on TikTok as well. But across all platforms, I'm at Alethea R. Lyons.
Okay.
So I'm the same everywhere.
Okay, so is it the same like login name or whatever that they look for you? So do you have a website as well?
So I have. It's called Linktree. It's basically a site that links to all your social media. It has the pre-order links for The Hiding. It has my website and newsletter links. And that is linktr.ee/AletheaRLyons.
Okay, it what that that's the Linktree destination for everything that you have going on.
Absolutely.
Okay, when your second comes out, is it gonna be available like Amazon and Barnes and Nobles and all that stuff?
Yep, so the ebook is already available for pre-order via Amazon, Barnes and Noble. I think Barnes and Noble have the paperback available for pre-order as well now. That's in the process of going live, so I'm not sure if that one's on Amazon yet or not, but it will be shortly if it isn't. But places like Waterstones, Barnes and Nobles, you should also be able to go in person and ask them to order copies as well. So
Okay.
always good to support the local bookstore. If you've got an indie bookstore, go in and ask them to order it.
It's a dying breed. Yeah, there's so few of them left. Like, everyone just orders off of their, Amazon or whatever, but they don't realize what they're doing there.
Give the money to the local businesses if you can.
Definitely. So, do you have an Amazon author page or anywhere else people can look up, or is it basically Linktree and that's the best way to go?
That's the best way to go, because that has the links on it then to my newsletter, to my website, to the Amazon page, to the Goodreads page. So it's all kind of just in one central place, and then whatever your preferred method is, you can find it on there.
Okay. Awesome. Do you have anything else that you want to promote? It sounds like you have a lot of stuff coming up. You should definitely check out your site and see what's going on. Like, that's, I love Carnival Row, so I wish more people would do something kind of like in that vein. Like, yeah. I'm not saying you copy Carnival Row. I'm just saying, like, in that vein. Like, I'm sure Carnival Row, in a way, copied other people, but, like, copying isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's like you dogmatically, like, do the exact same things. But I'd say inspired by. How's that?
I mean, there's that theory, isn't there? There's only, what, 5 stories in the whole world anyway.
Yeah.
But no, definitely, if you like that kind of the dark gothic, dark academia type vibes, then this should be a good series for you.
Okay, awesome. And everybody should go to Linktree and see what we have going on, right?
Absolutely. And absolutely love for people to connect with me.
Okay. All right. Well, do you have anything else to promote?
No, that's pretty much it at the moment. But thank you very much for having me on to talk about it.
Yeah, thanks for doing this.